You can value a person by what one will give for that person, or what a person will give to that person. In your Bibles, at John chapter 17. Now, I heard that noise out of you, Roger, so don't be thinking ahead of me here. Let me have some pop here, if you don't mind. Yes. Takes all the fizz out of everything. Roger does. Would you believe, you've all heard of a guy by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte? You've all heard of him? Does anybody, off the top of your head, recall what his primary occupation was?
General.
He was. General. Can anybody else remember anything at all about his stature?
Short.
Short guy. Just keep him in mind for a minute or two. I want you to think about association, identification, association, and there are two features that come with that. Guilt by association and glory by association. Those two things. In John 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. When a person uses the word Father, does it not automatically make for an identification? That the person using the term bears a relationship to the one speaking. He says, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And then he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Then he proceeds with regard to an identification, an association. First, there was the Father and the Son. In verses 6 through 9, it is a relationship or an association between the Son and his apostles, his followers. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Please notice the specific language that the Lord Jesus used and is translated in your King James Bible when he says, out of the world. Could have been a different translation entirely. Could have said, in this so many words, that he didn't, the men which thou gavest me in this world. Didn't said, the men out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Wow. What a gift, huh? Do you think much of yourself? Do you value yourself highly? I'm not talking about in the sense that where Lucifer did, you know, where like Lucifer, because of pride, lifted himself up above everything. I want you to come back with this, to this thought with me. In terms of value and association, if you will recall the occasion when Abraham was commanded by the Lord to take his only begotten son to the mountain and offer him there for a sacrifice. Again, I will say that what you think of a person will be largely determined by what you are willing to give that person. In this, we have a notion of Abraham's thoughts about his father, the God of heaven, into which he would be willing to give his only begotten son, his only begotten son. And he was fully prepared to offer him that. Now, I want you to think also in terms of, on the other end of that spectrum, when it came time for the Son of God to be crucified, you remember there was an option given the people by Pilate They had a custom. And the custom was that at this particular time that they observed, the Jews, that they could pick which one or a person that they wanted to be released. And now, this, see in the selection that they made, the value that they placed on Christ. Do you recall the guy's name that they selected? Barabbas. They valued a murderer, a convicted murderer, and a thief, and a rebel, over and above Christ. So do you see the concept in terms of value association determined by what you are willing to give or get from a person? We continue on here, and I just, for the sake of identification, at verse number 10, all mine are thine. Jesus is associating himself with these people, these apostles. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now, out of all of these apostles and disciples of Christ, do you realize that only one would make it? Only one of these selected would make it in terms of not be subject to the martyr's sword, so to speak? Only one guy. Only one. All mine are thine, thine are mine, and I am glorified. And here's, listen, here's what he says about the apostles. I'm glorified in them. In them. Mere creatures. I'm glorified in them. Those whom thou hast given me. According to what we read in verse number 11. Glory by association. Glory by association. I read a verse over in John 15, the 19th verse. Glory or guilt. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Those who are Christ's by identification suffer guilt by association. And the reason that that is so is because they are so like one another, and they are like their Savior. They are like him. Guilt, the world hath hated them. And the reason that Jesus says that that is so is because they hated me before they hated you. But there is also, it is said in John 17, the 16th verse, this truth, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. In that sense, there's a likeness to Christ. There is an identification with Christ. And because of that identification with him, because of the association with him, there is guilt by association. They are not of the world. He switches from the apostles to people like me and you in verse number 20. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That is an explicit reference to you in the year 2018. You, as children of God, having been saved by the grace of God, have arrived at this place because of the word preached to you, that word that was preserved by God down through the ages, the gospel message in its entirety. Jesus was praying for you before you were. Can I put it that way? Jesus was aware of your being before you took on a being, before you were ever conceived, before you were ever a thought, before your generation ever arrived on the horizon of time, he prayed for you. Now think about that association and the value. Look, do you pray for people you do not value? There's a one kind of praying and there's another kind of praying. Okay? But for a person that you highly treasure and value, there's a different kind of prayer there than the kind of prayer that is offered up for a mortal enemy. The prayer for the mortal enemy may encompass a couple of things. Number one, that God would be merciful to them, and in the absence of God's willingness to dispense mercy, that there would be retribution. Always in that order. And as a matter of fact, when you come down to verse number 21, that they may all be one, these for whom he prayed, all one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Glory by association, in verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, I want you to understand how tight the Trinity is. Father, Son, and Spirit. The eternal Trinity is one God. There's no division between them. None. They are perfectly unified, and here we are identified this way. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. There's the value right down through verse number 26. I in them, thou in me, thou hast loved them. Now, I want you to give some thought to this as well. There is a value in this identification and association, and there's also affection. The 24th, the 25th, and the 26th verses teach that we were loved before the foundation. Christ was loved before the foundation as the Son, and that the love for Him may be in them and I in them. Keep this in mind. Value now. The Lord Jesus earlier said in the 13th chapter, He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. There's a token. Let me give you this little thing that appeared in a church bulletin. I think that it was authored originally by Paul Van Gorder. And he carried this story that so much illustrates the point of something really serious. It was a story about an American tourist who went to Paris, purchased an inexpensive amber necklace. I cite inexpensive amber necklace. Bought it in a trinket shop, otherwise known as a junk store. And while clearing customs in New York, he was shocked because he had to pay a high tax or a duty on that item. He just shook his head and couldn't figure it out. Just a trinket. So after he had it appraised, having had his curiosity aroused, he hoped to sell it for whatever he could get out of it. And after looking at the object under a powerful magnifying glass, a jeweler sat back in his chair, looked up at him, and he said, I'll give you $25,000 for that necklace. $25,000 for this junky, glassy little amber necklace. $25,000. The man was greatly surprised. But then he decided to have his newfound treasure reevaluated. And he took it to another jeweler, another expert, who offered him $10,000 more than the first guy. So we're up now. If you had 25 and 10, Emily, what does it come to? Good girl, $35,000. $35,000. She's quick. She's really quick. I mean, to calculate that in your head with no paper and pencil. $35,000, he said to this guy, he said, what do you see that's so valuable about this old junky necklace? And the guy takes the necklace, he puts it under his glass, he says, look down through here. What do you see? And there before his eyes was an inscription that read, from Napoleon Bonaparte to Lady Josephine. The necklace was extremely valuable because of its identification with that famous man. Now when I read that story, I was mixed feeling. I'm thinking, yeah, he didn't think much of Josephine to give her just a junky amber necklace. But now that junky necklace is worth something because of who it's identified with, and somebody was willing to put out hard cash to obtain it. Which points up to this story. Christians are in union, just like in John 17 we read, with the one who is far, far more important than any human being in Christ. We who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He purchased our redemption with His precious blood. Consider then the value of what God valued you at when he gave something to obtain you? How do you put a monetary value on the blood of Christ? But that's precisely what and how God values each and every one of you. Look at it like that. The Father in heaven does not deal with his children apart from the person of his Son. The relationship with him makes it possible for undeserving sinners to be accepted and loved by holy God. When I think about this whole theme, by this love, then, that token, shall all men know that you are my disciples. Jesus did command us to love one another. Identification and association, that love comes because we value each other as much as God values us. Love me as I have loved you, said Jesus. With this I conclude. On the heels of that commandment found again, John 15:12, an evangelist traveling by train in northern Scotland said at one particular station, some noisy kids and their parents entered the coach. Just what you want to have on a long train ride. Some noisy kids and the parents. So after the mother and her four children were seated, the father reminded them that they had to make a transfer at Edinburgh, and then he turned around to inquire about some final details before the train resumed its journey. And as he left the compartment, here's the words that he said to his wife and his children. Glue together till I come back. Glue together till I come back. And so that evangelist, as he's listening to all this, it said he stuck in his mind, and they were similar to some words of our Lord that should always remain precious to us as Christians. Jesus had been telling his disciples that after he ascended to glory, he would one day return. And he emphasized that in his absence, that they should love one another. The reason that that can be, and the reason that that ought to be, is because the Father loved us with an inestimable value in the person of Christ when he gave him for our sins. Surely, if God, who knows all about us before we ever were, and has observed our comings and goings since then, even since we confess Christ and sees all that and loves us yet, surely we ought to be able to glue together till he comes. Surely. Someone, and again Brother Anon to the rescue, said that our love for God is best seen in our love for others. Do you believe that? Our love for God is best seen in our love for others. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, may the most conspicuous thing about us in these days ahead, wherever we go, may be our love for people that stems from our love for you, that has its very roots in your unfailing love, your unconditional love for us. We can't do it on our own, so we appeal to you for help. Carry us forward, this day forward, in this day, in this hour, till we see Jesus. Carry us ahead, Lord. Provide for us the strength and the wisdom, the want to obey your word. For Jesus' sake, amen.